we thank God. Let's go ahead and read a scripture. Our text is going to be found in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, and we'll use other scriptures as well. And so let's go ahead and read. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The main idea I want to put across to you today, and that is, you cannot curse what God has already blessed. And so we mentioned some things here in the scriptures. We see in the Old Testament, you know, there was a man there who was called to curse the people of God, Israel, but he couldn't do anything because, God was working through him, this prophet, and God says, you can't curse these people. So we'll look at that in a moment, but I want to just mention to you, under the New Covenant, we're New Covenant people, and we're thoroughly blessed, and we need to understand there is a curse. The scripture talks about there's curse, and there is a blessing. So that's in the Bible, and so we're going to look at that this morning. And we don't have to live in fear of any kind of curse coming our way because Jesus took upon himself to be a curse for us. He was a sin offering for us. Instead of us being condemned, he was condemned for us. And he rose again from the dead, the Bible says, in his righteousness because the Lord raised him back up again. He lived a sinless life. So instead of being cursed, we have been given the blessing that God gave Abraham. And so we're going to see that in Scripture, that all that God spoke to Abraham in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, what he promised in the Old Covenant, God blessed us, and whatever he said to Abraham, it belongs to us through Jesus Christ. And so we want to see that again today. So today we have the blessing of God, and he blesses us with everything we need in life. And so we cannot be cursed. We're a blessed people. The Bible talks about we're a blessed people. And so we want to look at that today. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every single person that's watching online today, wherever they are in this world. We ask you for the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest himself to these people because of the Word. Let the Word of God be in such demonstration and power that people will not be able to withstand the words of God spoken. I pray that faith will rise up in every believer. Those who will have ears to hear will be able to receive and cannot contain the blessing of God. We thank you that overabundance of blessings will overflow in their lives, that they'll be free from every chain of bondage. They'll be free from every fear. They'll be free to go about their day and knowing that God's hand that's upon them and that God loves them and that he wants to do good for them and not bad. We want to thank you for the hedge of protection upon each family and every individual that's watching. We thank you that the fire of God is around them and the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no enemy can penetrate that circle of protection around each one. The Bible says, Lord, that you put a canopy over us and that we're hidden in your presence, that no enemy cannot find us. So we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus for every person in the name of Jesus, that they'd be covered according to Psalm 91, that no sickness, no disease, no disaster, no evil thing will come upon them. And we shall, as Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil. I give you praise for the revelation knowledge of Jesus. We thank you for the supernatural power to pray and to preach the Word of God with demonstration. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit in us who is here right now to give us revelation. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen wherever you are. So there was a time that a man was trying to curse Israel. You know, they were afraid of Israel. They were afraid of, different nations were afraid of what God had done for Israel, bringing them out with a strong hand out of Egypt. And that was, they said that was the most demonstrative and the most biggest miracle that was ever, ever seen in the world up until today. That God, but with his mighty hand, delivered a nation from another nation, took them all out with power and demonstration. And God brought them out, and God blessed them. God used a man by the name of Moses, and he led them with along with his brother and some other young men. And they went out from that place under Pharaoh and under Egypt. You know, it's a type of being under the devil's power. It's a type when they came out of Egypt. It's a type of being born again, coming out of the kingdom of darkness. And so they ventured out, and they went out, and they were led by Moses. And they ventured off, and they took 40 years, which should have took actually 40 days to get to their destination. And they wandered on in the desert because of disobedience and unbelief. And so they encountered different giants, different struggles, and they had a hard time following, obeying. But you know, but God had given them a promise, and later on, you know, and through Abraham, God was able to. At the point there before, God spoke to them, and through His also many times God spoke to them, but you know they didn't listen, and even the spies who went out that God sent out to spy out the land, and there were 12 spies, and 2 came back with a good report, and 10 came back with a bad report. So you can't always believe the majority, and you have to believe the Word of God. You know, all the rest of the world might say things are going to be awful, but it doesn't have to be with you. It might be for somebody else because they believe that, and you need to believe in the Word of God this morning. Believe that God's going to take care of you. In fact, He's already taken care of you through Christ Jesus. And so believe the Word. Believe the report of the Word of God. You know, sometimes people ask us, or ask me sometimes even, pray for me that I get a good report from the doctor. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of report you get. You gotta believe the report of the Lord. And the Lord says you're healed and you're well provided for. You have protection, that you have peace in your heart. And you have to believe that instead of what the report of the world is telling you. So stick with the Word of God. Over here, we'll look at some things here. And the Bible says in our scripture verse, Galatians chapter 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And you know, back over there, there was a man, as mentioned to you, was asked to curse this company called Israel, and he couldn't do it. And the guy says, I'm going to offer you some money, and I'm going to offer you this and that. And the guy said, I couldn't, if you offered me whatever, this and that, I still couldn't do it, because whatever God said, that's what it is. So God says you're blessed and you're not cursed. And I think so many people don't recognize that they're actually blessed, and don't realize that they actually can take authority in their lives and walk free. And so let's go over here to Numbers 23. We'll catch up on a few a story here with a couple of scriptures. And Numbers 23:19, let's go to verse 8 first. The Bible says, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn whom the Lord has not condemned? So this guy he asked this man, actually a prophet, he asked him to curse these people. And so the man of God went, and he went to prayer, and God told him, there's no way you can curse these people. I gave them a promise. I promised to bless them. And that's what he said over here in verse 8. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? And according to Scripture, the Bible says we're blessed people. Over down, we go to verse 20. The Bible said, God is not a man is God a man so he does not lie? He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? Verse 20, listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed. I cannot reverse it. So you see here, God commanded a blessing. The Bible said he commanded the blessing. We see that way back there before these guys ever went to bondage. before Israel was ever in bondage. The Bible says way back there, God spoke to a man by the name of Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read it again later on. Genesis chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 3, says, "And all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." And so, and then we see here in verse 21, listen to this. "No misfortune is in the plan of Jacob," for Jacob. This is talking about Israel. "No trouble is in store for Israel. For the Lord is their God. God is with them. He has proclaimed their king, has been proclaimed as their king." So God, you know, God is with us, the Bible says. God is God's plan. There's no misfortune in his plan. You know, Jeremiah 29, 11 says there's no bad stuff. God never planned anything bad for you. So if there's anything going on in your life that's bad, if there's sickness or financial problems, family problems, children problems, no matter what it is, mental health, physical problems, that's not in the plan of God. And so no misfortune in his plan, no trouble in store for Israel, it says here. The Lord is their God, and he's with them. So verse 22, "God brought them out of Egypt. For them he is as strong as a wild ox." Verse 23, "No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel." So you see here in these scriptures, the blessing of God pronounced upon Israel. We see way back there in Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to a man named Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. So he says in Genesis Galatians chapter 3, there it says there, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're going to look at something here for a second. So what is the law? If we can find out what the law is, maybe we can learn something and avoid this curse. When the Bible speaks about the law in Genesis chapter 3, 13, it does not refer to the Ten Commandments. You know, we talk about the law as the Ten Commandments is part of that, but it's not all of it. So there's no mention in there in the Ten Commandments about curses. And in the Ten Commandments, so we see here, but in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, it does mention what the curse is as far as we're concerned, and specifically the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It gives us a detailed account or mentions a number of curses, actually a lot of them in there, and also talks about the blessings in the first 15 verses of Scripture, somewhere on there, and goes on, and verse 15 on talks about the curses. So this gives us an account of the blessings and the curses. According to Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says that we have been redeemed from every curse of the law when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He took on himself every curse that could ever be pronounced on us. So Jesus died, he became a curse for us on the cross, or he was a sin offering for us. We were to be condemned, but Jesus was condemned for us, the scripture says. He took upon himself every curse that could be mentioned. And he took it to the cross, and he died on there. And the Bible says he physically died, and his spirit died, and went down for 3 days. On the third day, the Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit, quickened him, and he rose from the dead. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, always living to intercede for us as our great high priest. And whatever we say, and he's at the right hand of the Father, what we say about our life, he will make happen in our lives, the Bible says. He's our great high priest. So we need to speak good things about our lives and cause some wonderful blessings to come. And so the Bible says, you know, the word redemption also, we see the word redemption in that verse of Scripture. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does the word redeem mean? Well, it means to buy back with a price. That's what it means in the language there. It says Christ has bought us back with a price, and that price was his life. His blood was shed for us. And so he bought us back. You know, we belonged to God before, but then, you know, the devil, we became under the law, we became children of the devil. because Satan became the illegitimate father of us, all of us, because through Adam, you read that over there in Romans chapter 5 and on, you see that, one man sinned, death entered all mankind, and then righteousness came through one man, Jesus. It was passed on us. Righteousness came upon all of us, right standing with God. And so the Bible says that right now that you and I are children of God. We have the exact blessings that God gave Abraham, as a child, all your children in your family, they have the same blessings of being in your home. And so for us, as children of God, we were Gentile people. We didn't have the covenant with God, but God, made a covenant with Abraham and those people there, the natural Israel. The Bible says that he made a covenant with them. But by faith, we came in and entered into that family because of Jesus. And the Bible talks about it there. We've been engrafted in. We have the same blessings that these people had. So according to Galatians 3:13-14, how did it come to us? How did this, these blessings come to us, and how did we ever come to God? So how did we become righteous and so on? It came by putting our trust in Jesus and for our redemption. So that's how we became children of God. As a result of our faith in Jesus, we felt heir to the promises that God gave to Abraham. Let's go look over here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 and 6 and 7, I believe it is. 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. When Abraham believed God, it was a credit to him as being a righteous person. He became righteous. God gave him the righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So under the new covenant, we, because of our faith, we become children of Abraham because of our faith in Jesus. In verse 26, Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So we became children of God by faith in Jesus. And so that's how the blessing comes to us. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, verse 29 says, Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, any kind of promise that God spoke about, those come to us because of our faith in Jesus. So we are all called children of Abraham, children of God through faith, and we're children of Abraham. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I want to read this in another version. Let me read this in the Amplified version. See what incredible quality of love the Father has shown us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, verse 2, we are even here and now children of God. Right now, you and I, standing here with our faith in Jesus, we are children of God. And we have to get that into our spirit, not just our heads, not just a fact in our head, but into our hearts. It becomes a part of us to know that you are a child of God. And God will do anything to defend you. And God will do anything to help you. And so, it is not yet made clear what we will be after his coming. We know, of course, when he's coming, our bodies will change in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. We know that when he comes and is revealed, we will, as his children, be like him, because we will see him just as he is, in all his glory. Let's just go ahead and read again, continue on with the same verses in the New Living Translation. See how very much the Father loves us? For he calls us to be his children. And that is what we are. But God who had, but the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we will do. But we do know that when we will be like him, for we will see him clearly as he is. So we are sons and daughters of God for all eternity. From now on, you know, without end, we are children of God. You cannot change it. No one can change it. We are blessed to be in the family of God. We are the seed of Abraham, the scripture says. This world does not recognize who we really are. When Jesus appears, we'll be exactly like him, just like Jesus. And right now, we have the righteousness of God. We have right standing with God, and we have sometimes people want to be righteous. They want to do something to attain righteousness, so they do all kinds of acts. You know, there's nothing you can do in this world to be perfect. No one can make heaven. No one's going to ever make heaven on their own merit and say, you know, I was good, I did this, I gave money, I gave my body, I worked so hard for God, I helped everybody. There's nobody in this world can ever get to heaven on their own merit. Jesus did it all for us. And that's what religion does, you know, wants us to do things, to earn some things, but Jesus did it all. And so righteousness is actually a gift. It's not some height that we attain by our goodness. Look at over here, Romans chapter 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that means rule. The word reigned signifies kingship or authority. We used to be under the authority, just like Israel was under the authority of, Egypt and Pharaoh. We used to be that, and we were under the power of the devil at one time, but now we're not. The devil has no right to bring sickness on you. He has no right to destroy your family or just to steal from you unless you're ignorant, you don't exercise your authority. That's why people are being decimated in life. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. We receive abundance of grace. You know, we've gotten things that we don't deserve, and we have things that in life that God did for us. There's a lot of things that we can't do for us that already God has done for us. And so it says, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So with this righteousness, one man said, righteousness is like a force, a spiritual force that we can, you know, have our authority. We can take our place, our authority, because we are right. We have right standing with God. Notice that it says that, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The word reign again signifies or gives us the connotation that we are kings, that we have dominion, we have rulership, we have authority. We rule in our lives over our own personal lives because God has given us kingship and authority in our own lives and over our own situations that come against us. Take authority over evil situations coming against us by faith and demand that the will of God be, you know, manifested in your life. And that has to be an exercise of faith. It doesn't happen just because you snap your finger. Things, you have to stand in faith sometimes for different things, sometimes for a few hours and a few days, maybe a few years even. So Romans 3:22 says, I'm reading the New Living, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. So I don't know who you are today. If you're out there, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation. You can be made right with God. You can be made right with God. You can have right standing with God. You can have the gift of righteousness and rule and reign. The Bible says for everyone. So that means you and I, whoever you are. Let's read here and... the Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, verse 6, it was accounted for him for righteousness, Galatians 3, 6. Verse 7, know ye therefore, they which are of faith are the same as children of Israel, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. So I want you to see something here in verse 8. The gospel You know, the gospel itself, we talk about the gospel, you know, we have a narrow perspective of gospel, the word gospel, in the New Testament church. We need to see the vastness of what that actually means, the gospel. You know, it means good news, but it means more than just being born again, being saved, and going to heaven one day. So notice in Galatians chapter 3, let's go to verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. In other words, God preached the gospel to Abraham, gave him this knowledge and information. He preached to him the good news. God himself, in other words, Abraham received words from God himself. Just like under the new covenant, God spoke to a man called Paul and spoke to him about a number of things under the new covenant. Give him revelation knowledge. So God spoke to Abraham. Notice this. What did he say? Saying, in thee, in other words, in Abraham, in you, shall all nations be blessed. So because he put his faith in God, and those who would do likewise like him put their faith in God, and under the new covenant, we put our faith in Jesus, we will be blessed. We'll walk in the blessing of God. So God himself gave Abraham the gospel. The gospel is called the blessing. We should believe in the blessing. And in the blessing, there's no curse at all. Galatians 3:9 says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So when we believe in the gospel, we receive the blessing of God that Abraham had. So this blessing needs to be, you know, recognized, needs to be received, and we need to act on this. Even though we aren't the natural seed of Abraham, as we mentioned, we are blessed with faithful Abraham because of our faith in Jesus. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham through faith. Let's go here, Galatians 3, 10 and 11. For as many as are works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continued not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law. You know, when people talk about keeping the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Thank God. Verse 12 says, for the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Under the Old Testament, where you avoided the curse by offering sacrifices. You know, I've been reading the Old Testament. See all kinds of sacrifices for every kind of thing you can think about there. And you have to bring different kinds of things for whatever the case is at that moment. And they were giving specific statutes and regulations. God gave them a specified operation of what they should do for different things that happened in their lives. And God spoke to them, and this was, man, this is a law. You got to do this. If you don't, you're cut off from Israel, and you're cut off from the promises, and you're cut off from the community. So you'd have to follow these regulations. And so under the new covenant, thank God, we don't have those. Everything stops with Jesus. Hallelujah. So nobody could live under the law perfectly, so God sent his son Jesus to die for us, so that we don't have to be condemned. He did it for us, at least Jesus did it for us, and he lived a sinless life and paid full the blessing of God so that we can receive the blessing. So Jesus bought us with his blood. The Bible talks about that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and he was made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, you know, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus became our sin, or our sin offering. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, that is God, had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The New Living Translation said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. So we have been made righteous, or we have right standing with God through Jesus. We didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us because we put our faith, our trust in Jesus. We receive all that Jesus has gotten for us when we come to Him. We don't have a curse to worry about. We don't have to be concerned about the curse. So what is the blessing, as we mentioned before? You know, there's a blessing there. It says here, Leviticus chapter 3, chapter 25, verse 18 and 19, you know, we talk about, that, so that the blessing of Abraham might come to us. There are curses and there are blessings. Over in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18 and 19, I'm reading the King James. Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. God had these for them. You shall dwell in the land safe in safety, and the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell in safely. This is Leviticus 25, 18 and 19 in King James. What is a statute? A statute is a formal written regulation or a policy that the Israelites had to live by. And then the judgments, he refers to the judgments, are sensible decisions that are made to stay right with the wisdom of God, to stay within the confines of what God wants. So God wants us to make righteous decisions that He's put out. God said in Leviticus 25 that there are three blessings that would come into effect, in effect, if the Israelites would live by His regulations. Number one is safety. We would live in safety, no fear of enemies, no fear of anything. God would bless them and keep them safe. Number two, fruitfulness. Now, everybody wants production, to be productive. Everybody wants to be successful. The Bible says that's what we'll enjoy. We'll enjoy this fruitfulness in our lives if we follow God. And then thirdly, provision. All our needs be met. We'll never have to worry about running out of stuff. God will always provide for us. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not lack for anything." That's Jesus. He's our shepherd, and He identifies Himself as the good shepherd in the 10th chapter of John. So Leviticus 25, 18 and 19 again. Let's go ahead and read. Wherefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. You shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell in its safety. So yeah, you notice just the word. It says safety, fruit, eat your fill, and safely. He mentioned those words. So, you know, God told them, just like God says, you work 6 days, one day you take a rest. He said to them about the land, the production of the land that they were in. He said, you can work the land for 6 years. On the seventh year, don't work the land. Just don't do anything. And I'll make sure that you'll have abundance. You'll have provision. And it gives us a picture that, you know what? God's blessing is on our lives. And I noticed that, you know, including myself, everybody else, you know, we try to have extra jobs. But God said, you know, He would provide no matter what. You know, we could do what we can. We can have extra jobs and do this and that. But the Lord says He would be our provider. And I wanted you to notice something here. He says, you could work the land 7 days, and 7 years you shall rest. You know, and so just God was talking to them. In Leviticus 25, 21, He says, then I will command a blessing upon you in the sixth year, and you shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. In other words, He said, you work those 6 years, and in those 6 years, your production will last for 3 years. You won't have to work the following year. What a blessing that is. So God will produce for us if we follow Him. God commands, the Bible says, His blessing. He commands a blessing upon us, upon them and us. We receive the same thing. They would have so much you wouldn't miss anything if you didn't work for a year. What a wonderful thing that is. If you took a vacation and you didn't have to worry about coming back to work, or when you come back to work, there'd be plenty of money left, plenty of stuff left, yet you didn't even have to come back to work. So you can go for 3 years and have plenty left over. That's the blessing of God upon the life of a man and woman of God who have right standing with God. That's in the Bible. So this blessing was so great, it lasted even for the next 3 years. There was so much excess, they didn't have to run out back there and have extra work. Verse 22, "And you shall sow in the 8th year and eat of the old fruit until the 9th year, until their fruit comes in, and you shall eat of the old store." In other words, the storage that they put away, you'll have plenty left in storage so that you'll have enough. Praise God. Let's believe God for more than enough as we follow God. You can skip a year, a whole year, take your whole year off. You don't have to work, and God will bless you. The Bible says under this covenant that our homes are blessed. Notice this. It says here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 33, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." He blessed the habitation of the just. We are blessed, and we didn't even earn it. We're still blessed. We don't have to beg for anything because God has already blessed us. Don't have to bless God, go to him and say, "God, please give me something, give me this." No, just look at the covenant. We are blessed. Begin to take part of it. We should expect it because God said it, just like he said. Over there we read. Proverbs 3:33, New Living says, "The Lord causes the house of the wicked, curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright." If you're an upright person, you have right standing with God. The Bible says that God blesses your home. Like right now, because you've been redeemed from the curse, you can claim blessing for your home. You need to tell yourself, "My home is blessed." Let's go ahead and read that again. Proverbs 3:33. "The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright," or the righteous, you know, the just. Proverbs 3:33 and the old King James says, "He blesseth the habitation of the just." So we have the blessing of God in our home. You know, we are thoroughly blessed. The blessing of God is in our house. He blesses your work. In fact, even he blesses everything you do, your work. If you whatever kind of work you do, he blesses you. God will bless your place of work, your office, your organization, your agency, your business. God will bless you because you're there. You notice that in the Old Testament, no matter where his man of God was, wherever his man was doing something, you know, Daniel, the Bible says he blessed Daniel, he blessed the king. Just because Daniel was there, he blessed the land. God blessed Egypt because of Joseph was there. So wherever you are, people recognize the blessing of God on you. You bring the blessing wherever you go. And we can see that clearly in the Bible, because the Bible says, you know, because his man was there, he was doing God's work. They were blessed. So God will bless your place of work. He'll bless the work of your hands. And everything you set yourself to, whatever you set your hand to, you'll be successful in every endeavor, any kind of project you do. He'll bless your workplace. He'll bless your employment. He'll bless your career. He'll bless your business, any kind of project you have. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, "The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do." Well, that's a good blessing. I remember in 1985, the Lord spoke to me one morning. Clearly, the Lord came to me, and I was having such a hard time. I was in depression. I was born again. I did not know the word like I do today. You know, anybody can be depressed. Even a born again Christian can be out of whack. You can fall into the prey of the devil. But God has a way out for you. He'll send his message to you of redemption. And I was having a hard time, man. I was having a hard time. I thought I was actually on my way to hell. The devil convinced me that I'm doomed for hell. But I was going to stave off hell as long as I could. I'm not going to go back to using alcohol and booze and drugs and running out there and get into trouble. And I was going to try to avoid hell as long as I could, live long as I could. And, you know, he can convince you. I know there's people out there, maybe you right now, the devil's convinced you that you could never receive a blessing because you've been so unfaithful, because you've been so unrighteous as a Christian, and you failed miserably so many times. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not true. The devil is a liar, and you are thoroughly blessed. There's nothing you can do that will make God hate you and curse you. You are blessed from top to bottom. And God, right now, I believe I prophesy over you right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to come to a brand new place, a new residency. I heard the Word of God say, the Spirit of God said, a new residency, a new place of living. You'll come out of that pot, whatever it is you're in, the cooking pot of destruction. He's going to bring you to a place, a new level, a new area of blessing. And you're going to need a new life. I believe it, and you need to receive it, because God will bring you out of that place. It's already done, but in the natural I'm talking about, God's going to bring you out of there. You're not going to be there. It's not going to be like this forever, so stop looking at the natural and start to see the supernatural thing of God. I know your mind will have a hard time with it, but listen to your spirit. The Bible says, let your spirit guide you. There is a better way for you. So the Lord will guarantee, that's a guarantee of blessing on everything you do. He will fill your storehouses with grain. Thank God for more than one bank account. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land He is giving you. Verse 12, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from His treasury. You know what? It's good. You know, just when you need something real good. God has a perfect timing to come in and bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. He's got the best plan ever. Praise God. And He says in His rich treasury in heaven, He'll bless all the work that you do. All the work you do. The reason why I mentioned that scripture reminded me, because the Lord spoke to me in 1985 and said that everything I do will be successful. He said, whatever you decide to do. Now, I didn't understand these scriptures before. I didn't even understand what the Lord was saying to me fully. And I still don't understand totally what He said to me. But I do understand what I experienced, and I do understand now what he's saying in a higher level than I ever did. That He said, whatever I decide to do, I will succeed. I cannot fail. I cannot fail if I decide to do something. If it's a project, I will not fail. If I put my heart and mind to it, it will not fail. And so He said that He'll bless all the work you do, and you will lend many to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. God blessed Abraham. He protected him and gave him riches. Abraham and Sarah had a child. Even old age, He gave them the desires of her heart. I believe that God will give you the desires of your heart because you come back to Him. There are various degrees of the blessings of God, and it depends on us. How are we going to experience this blessing? You know, you could just take a little bit. It depends on how you open up your mind and your heart to God. Open up wide, God will bless you with lots. And some people, sometimes because of their, I don't know what it is, they let their natural mind hinder them, you know, because they don't feel good about receiving anything. Some people are not as good receivers as some. And so, so there's various degrees of blessings. Galatians, go back to Galatians 3:13 and 14 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So He talks about the curse in verse 13. Then He talks about the blessing in verse 14. How does that power of the blessing come upon us? It comes by, you want to know how the blessing can come on your life? It comes by words, by what you say about your life and what you say to people. So that's how the blessing comes. The word of God must be declared by every single person. You must say, this belongs to me. I am a child of God. I have rights and privileges. I am blessed. I'm not trying to get blessed. I am blessed. And so we have to begin to say those things. So we have to say, my home is blessed. My bank account is blessed. My work is blessed. My hands are blessed. My children are blessed. My home is blessed. You have to say those things. The blessing is real, as we see in these verses of Scripture. The curse is real. That's what Jesus came to do. He died for us so that we can be relieved from the curse. when people ignore him and rebel under the under, the curse will come in their lives. You open up your door, your life to the curses. We deserve to be cursed, but God blessed us in Christ Jesus. We need to stand up against the enemy because his intent is to kill, steal, and destroy. We have to stand up against him. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but Jesus came that he might give us abundant life. The blessing is now upon us. At one time, we were a nobody, but when Christ came to us, we now have become a somebody. We're a child of God now. When he came to our life, blessings came, and the curses went out. In Leviticus, God blessed them, even when they didn't have to work. And so, hey, listen, God will give us stuff when we didn't deserve it. He's so good. That's why people say, I don't understand that. God's so good. He blessed me. Well, that's the goodness of God. The power to succeed is in the blessing of God. It produces at levels, you know, that we couldn't do ourselves. It's the empowerment and enablement to be successful. Let me read this in Galatians 3:13 Amplified. Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs or crucified on a tree or on the cross, the Bible, the Amplified says. New Living says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. That Jesus became a curse for you and me. He became a sin offering for you and me so that we can be blessed by his life, by him. Devil has no right to curse you. Tell him he must stop his maneuvers against you and against your family. You have to stop in the name of Jesus, devil. I command you, you have authority over every devil, every principality, every power, every rule of darkness. You have authority over those because Jesus won the victory over them and he's given us authority over these here. Christ ransomed us. He bought us back with his life. Anything that is a curse must stop because Jesus brought us out from the curse, according to Galatians 3:13. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let me just read this to you. King James Version. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's talking about us. The Bible says, notice this, you know, we have to say that we are redeemed, according to Psalm 107. 7 verse 2. We have to say, I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Enemy has no authority, no hold on my life. He cannot touch me. He cannot touch my body. He cannot touch my mind. He cannot touch my family. He has to take his hands off me in the name of Jesus. How does it come? How does the redemption come? How does the blessings come to your life? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So we need to speak out what belongs to us. We need to speak according to the word of God, I am blessed. According to the word of God, I live in safety. According to the word of God, I'm protected from COVID-19 and every sickness and every disease. Now we don't have to be stupid and say that and just do whatever you want to do. Follow the rules. I believe that if I follow the laws of the land, follow what God says, I have nothing to worry about. Unless there's an occasion where I need to, if I'm unprotected and I'm be there, I believe God will protect me. But I can't just live foolishly. The truth will set us free, you know. The Bible says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So once we begin to see the Word of God and accept the Word of God as true, what God did for Abraham, he did for the church. What God did for the Israelite, he did for the person in Christ, in the body of Christ right now. You are free. You are blessed. You need to personalize Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Personalize it. Say, this is about you. Say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You can say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the law. Say this to yourself, meditate on it. Jesus being made a curse for me. Jesus became a curse for me. The curse that should follow me went on Jesus. Say that. Say that to yourself. And, you know, it says, curse everyone that hang on trees. You know, that was about Jesus. It says, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You need to say, that blessing of Abraham came upon me. It fell upon me right now. I am thoroughly blessed with the blessing that God gave Abraham right now. And you need to start saying that, because it's not going to become real to you unless you start saying these things. Unless you start embracing them. Unless you start saying, this is mine. I have it now. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Because I am in Christ, the blessing of Abraham is mine. You need to say that. Thank God. We need to make a confession of faith right now as we close this part of the, you know, we'll talk about this again. Praise God. You know, there is a real curse and there is the blessing of God. Praise God. We need to focus on the blessing of God. You are blessed because of the blessing that God gave to Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, notice this. I want everybody there at home, say this. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Say, I am bought out. Say, I am no longer under the curse. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. I am blessed because of my belief is in Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus became a curse for me. Say that. Say, Jesus became a curse for me. And say, and now I am thoroughly blessed. Jesus hung on the cross for me. I don't have to hang around on, you know, on under those curses. He took the curse for me, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon me. The blessing of Abraham is mine. I have it now. I rebuke every curse in the name of Jesus that would try to come upon my home and my family. I rebuke poverty. I rebuke sickness and disease and pain in the name of Jesus. I receive the blessing of God. I rebuke every evil work. I rebuke every work of Satan that would come against my home, because I am blessed. I live in safety. I live in harmony under the word of God. I am successful. I can sleep at night, have no fear in Jesus' name. You need to say that again, praise God. Say it over and over and over again. If you have to listen to this program again, take down notes, look at the scripture. The Bible says, Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You need to start saying, I am blessed. And look at the blessings in there. We're going to look at some more scripture later on. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I want